Well, it's my honor to have Brother Buster Mullins with us. He's the pastor of Little Rock Baptist Church in Chilhowee, Virginia. I always try to keep that straight. That's not an easy thing to keep straight. But anyway, he's been starting our Jubilee off for longer than I can remember. It's been a while. You might know how many years, but I'm not sure. But I appreciate this man of God. He's a friend of mine. And Brother Mullins, you come. And I hope that you'll give him your undivided attention today.
Appreciate you, amen. Well, it is a blessing to be here and to be in the service. Good to see everybody and see everybody here in the meeting. Appreciate you so very much being here. It's always a joy kind of get up and see who's here before I get started, amen. And I appreciate Brother Robert letting us come again this year. I'm deeply honored, preacher, and I mean that. Every time I come, I am honored all over again. I've been, Brother Roberts, I was here in revival back, in April, was it, maybe? And I've been told several times I preached too long. Brother Roberts, the only person that ever jumped on me for preaching too short. And he knows I'm joking with him. But one night he said, "I want to see you in the office." And I thought, "Lord God, what have I done?" And he said, he took me in there and he said, "I'm tired of you saying I'm going to cut it short tonight." He said, "You preach." I thought, "I've never heard that before." So, amen. But, amen. But it is good to be here, and I trust the Lord to help us in these days. I want to be a help, and I know that everybody that preaches, I'm going to move that a little, I'll turn it over. I know that everybody preaches wants to be a help. I don't want it to be like I heard of a lady that was standing in front of a mirror looking at herself, and her husband was sitting reading a paper, you know, the paper up in front of his face, and she was in front of a mirror looking at herself, and she said, "I'm old," and she said, "I'm fat," and she said, "My hair is falling out," and she said, "I've got wrinkles," and she said, "I'm ugly." She said, "I sure could use a compliment." Her husband says, "Sounds like you got pretty near perfect vision anyway." Amen. So I hope this meeting doesn't turn out that way for you. I hope that it's a real compliment. Amen. Let me take a minute to say thank you for providing the room and all that you do. I don't take it for granted. A lot of work goes into this meeting, a lot of things and troubles and problems in the background. And I appreciate the fact of what you do for us each year. Let's all stand, if you will. Only God knows what sometimes is done in a meeting like this. Brother Jeff, only God knows. I recently received a letter from a preacher, a young man, who 12 years ago came to me and I had only got acquainted with him a little bit along the way, and he came to me, and he was saying about leaving his church. And he talked to me, and I told him not to leave. I said, you're missing the will of God, preacher. You're dismissing the will of God. Long story, reason I told him that. He said, "Well, I won't resign. I'll go back and try to stay at the church and settle back in." He went back, and he stayed a week, and he resigned. And a month later, he came back to this local area right here. And a month later, he came back and hunted me up again. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I missed the will of God." And he said, "I don't know what to do." And I said, "Brother, they don't have a pastor yet. Go apologize. Tell them you messed up. See what they do. Try to get back in the will of God." He went back. He apologized. They took him back. He pastored a month and resigned again. And for the last 12 years, he's been wondering. Brother Barry, you know what I'm talking about. He's been wondering for the last 12 years. His family has been in trouble. He's been in trouble. He's not disqualified himself from the ministry or anything. He's just suffered the last 12 years. 3 weeks ago, I got a letter from him. I haven't seen him in 12 years. 3 weeks ago, I got a letter from him, and he made this statement. He said, "I was sitting in a church that you probably don't know where it's at." He said, "But it was a church called Welcome Baptist Church in Union, South Carolina, when Bill Cole was pastor there." And I never had the privilege of meeting Bill Cole. He said, "But when Bill Cole was pastor there, He said, Dr. Ed McAbee made a statement one day in that Jubilee meeting there that when you get out of the will of God, the only place you can get back in is where you got out. And he said, preacher, would you help me get back in the will of God? He said, I was just a teenage boy at that time. He's a man of close to 40 now. And so something was said to a teenage boy that he remembered more than 20 years later. So only God knows what a word might be planted that might come back in days to come. So we cannot take for granted what we're doing here. I want you to turn to the book of John this evening, John's Gospel. I was praying. I never get over getting nervous when I come to these places. I know I can't help it. I try not to. I tell myself I'm not going to. But I always get that way again. And the reason I do that is not, I don't say this wrong. You don't bother me. But God in my heart, my witness, I want to glorify Him. I want to exalt Him and raise Him up. And I don't want to fail at that. Someday, we'll preach our last time. It may be this day. A friend of mine just a month ago last night. I'll preach just in a moment. I was sitting at the church. I preached his daddy's funeral. His daddy was a pastor. I preached his daddy's funeral 15 years ago. I'm supposed to preach his mother's funeral when she dies. And just a month ago last night, 4 weeks ago last night, I was sitting in my study at 5 o'clock at the church and the phone rang and picked it up. This guy said, preacher, got some bad news. Said, Eddie Crusenberry just passed away. And I said, you say Betty, his mother's name's Betty. I said, you say Betty? And he said, no, Eddie. I said, Eddie? Eddie passed away? 53-year-old, a picture of health. And was going to have his gallbladder taken out on Monday. He was in a hospital bed in Bristol, Tennessee. Took a shower, laid down in the bed, and just died. Had a heart attack. And so I don't know. I don't know when might be our last time. So I don't cut up a lot. I just I'm very serious, and because it's a serious thing. I was praying on Friday. I preached this over 2 years ago at our church. I haven't preached it before in a sense. And I felt like God just had me stir around here a little bit this evening. And if the Lord works it out again tomorrow evening, maybe. John chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him. That's what I'd like to do today. And cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Let's bow to pray. Our Father, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege that you have conferred and placed upon us, Lord, to be here again today. I love you and worship you. And Lord, I honor you. Our God, thank you for being so kind. Lord, you are so precious and you are so wonderful. Lord, there could never be enough words, God, to describe your glory and Lord, who you are. Lord, if somehow you would give me the mind of God today. And Lord, if you'd give me the heart of God. And Lord, if your Holy Ghost would anoint us for a minute, Lord, I'd give you every bit of praise that I can possibly give you. Lord Jesus, these people have not come this distance, Lord, just to be entertained. Lord, they need a word from you. And I pray, God, that you'd provide that word today. Lord, I need you. I submit to you, Lord, the absolute very best that I know how. Lord, I surrender and submit myself to you. And I pray you'd make us an instrument of thy glory. Bless Brother Robert, his wife and family and people, God, that have provided the means to allow this meeting. We love you now. Have your way and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'd like to talk to you a minute. I won't get to the subject, I don't think, but just give you an introduction there. But I'd like to talk to you just a minute on, may I introduce to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, there are thousands of introductions made, often to people that we have never met before in our life. I'm not good at introductions, but the better I know somebody, the better I can introduce them, and the better I can tell about them. And oftentimes in an introduction, we give the person's title, their official title, before we give their name. Are you listening at me? We give their title. I know it's very slow here. I'm just kind of casting out a little bit, coasting out. We give their title before we give their name. In other words, I would say, if Brother Barry Rackley was my pastor, I would say to somebody that didn't know Brother Barry, I'd say, this is my pastor, Brother Barry Rackley. I would say the title before I'd say the name. Is that not right? I would say, this is my wife, Dorothy. I'd say, she'd say, this is my husband, Buster. And so, John here is seeking to introduce to us the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have his name here. His title is all John gives us. And so, John's trying to introduce us to the Lord Jesus. Now, there's four things that we'll deal with in just a minute, but I feel like God just let me give you this little bit of introduction today. As I was thinking about John's writings, I thought about the time that was associated with this writing here. It's believed that John wrote somewhere all of his writings, the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Epistles of John, and the book of the Revelation. That John wrote all of those writings somewhere between 85 and 96 A.D. There's the time of his writing. If that being so, just bear with me a minute. If that being so, according to the Scofield Bible and other things we've studied, that is so. He wrote between 85 and 96 A.D. If that being so, that means that every other book of the Bible has been written. That means that Matthew, Mark, and Luke has been penned. That means that Acts has been penned. 1st and 2nd Peter has been penned. James and Jude and all the Pauline epistles have been penned. Now that's interesting. John could have copied what those others had said. But John does not refer to much of anything that anybody else said. And so I got to thinking about that, and I thought, why would God allow a man to write another whole gospel, and when he already had all the rest of the Bible is in print, and most of the Pauline epistles are already in circulation? And so I thought about what John said in John 21, verse 24 and 25, when he said, "This is the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things. We know his testimony is true. There are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they would be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written about him." Amen. John said that if everything that needed to be written about the Lord Jesus Christ was written, the world itself could not contain those books. Amen. I don't know whether it's me or you just quiet listening, maybe. It's all quiet out there. There's the time that's associated with John's writings. But I could think about the thrill. I'm just coasting out on this introduction a minute. The thrill that was attached to John's writings. Now, think about this a minute. Many of us in this building are getting older. I come in every time I see Brother Barry, and I know he says the same about me. I see more hair gray, and I see us getting older. I saw Brother Finney come in, you know, that pretty gray hair, and I've said right there, and we're just all getting there, aren't we? And I thought about John as he went back down the years. As he's an old man now. He's not a young boy no more. He's an old man. He's been in the ministry now for beyond 50, probably 60 years. He's been in the ministry. And here he is. The Holy Ghost takes him back down the years. And there's a thrill in his heart as he thinks about the day that he first met the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's that thrill of the first contact with the Lord. You remember that first contact? You remember that place? You remember that time when maybe you were just a stringy-headed boy? Just a young kid, amen? And you first met the Savior. Amen. Here stands old John. And I've been there, and I know you have, and I go there often in my mind. Oh, to that place where just as a hippie with hair down to here and you couldn't see my eyes and my nose and my mouth for the hair and the long hair. And I met the Savior. And every once in a while, and I think about that, a smile and a grateful heart comes to my mind. I'm going somewhere with all this. Just stay with me a minute. He talked about the first contact with the Savior. Maybe he thrilled over the formal call of the Savior, where he met him there, and Jesus said, "John, put down your nets and get out of that boat and come and follow me." You remember that? Can I get an amen somewhere out there? You remember that formal call God put on your life and called you away and chose you to serve Him? Oh, what a thrill. And then there's the full commitment. The day that he fully committed himself. And he sold out everything that he was. He sold himself out entirely. And he gave himself 100% to serve the Lord. I'm still going somewhere. Maybe he thought about his fellowship with Christ. He said, "That which we have seen with our eyes, heard with our ears, our hands have handled the word of life." He said, "I'm writing these things that you might have fellowship." I think I've died there. He says, "Might have fellowship with you, with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." He talks about the fellowship that he had with Christ. Please stay with me. He might thrill over those things. Then all of a sudden he thinks about the fear of the crucifixion. See, the Holy Ghost is taking him back down. Those 50, 60 years of his life. I don't know about you. I really want to get to the next point or two, but I don't know about you, but more in these days of my life, I find myself going back down the years. 38 years now since I met Him. 38 years since that full call placed on my life. I'm going back down the years of those Sundays and Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings and revival evenings and church stirrings and private stirrings in my fellowship place with God and in this Bible. When I fellowship with God, and John must thrill as he's thinking about those many years as an old man now. But then he thinks about the fear of the crucifixion, how he left the Lord. He thinks about his firm stand at the cross. And then he thinks about that farewell charge as he stood out there just outside of Bethany that day. And the Savior gave him a charge. Listen now. While they beheld him, a cloud came down and he got on the cloud. And they watched him go away. And John must have thought, that's the last time I ever saw him. Here's thrill. May I say to you, every once in a while it's good to go back down the years. Let him thrill your heart. Let him thrill your heart as to where it brought you from and where you're at and where you're going and how many times he lets you see him and get a glimpse of him and smell the rose of Sharon again. Here's the time associated with John's writings. Here's the thrill that's attached to John's writings. But let me talk to you just a minute about the tears that accompany John's writings. Two things that must have brought tears to his eyes. All the apostles are now dead. Think about that. Everybody he started with is gone. If the fact being is after 85 to 96 from John to the book of the Revelation, that means that Stephen has been stoned to death. James has been beheaded by Herod. Peter has been crucified at Rome. Paul has had his head cut off at Rome. Matthew was slain with a halibut in the city of Nadaba. Mark was dragged to pieces by the people of Alexandria. Luke was hanged on an olive tree by the idolatrous priests of Greece. Thomas was thrust through with a spear in India. Philip was scourged, thrown into prison, then crucified in Heliopolis in 54 A.D. Jude was crucified in Edessa in 72 A.D. Andrew was crucified in Asia. Bartholomew was crucified in India. Matthias was stoned to death and beheaded in the streets of Jerusalem. And James the Less was beat to death with a fuller's club in 94 A.D. He's the only one left. And as he thought about that, as he went back down through the years, he thought, all of my brethren in the fight and all of my brethren in the faith have now gone home. And I'm the only one left. It must have brought tears to his eyes. Not only the tears because the apostles are dead, but there's the tears because the altars are desecrated. Jerusalem's gone. The temple's gone. Titus burnt that thing in 70. No more marble streets and marble columns and glorious, beautiful stones. Jesus said they'll all be pulled down. Now listen to this. I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to get a hold of this. He didn't write a word about it. He didn't write about one of the deaths of the men of God. He didn't write about one trouble. He didn't write about one heartache. He didn't write about one tear. He just simply walks on the pages of history and says, I want to introduce you. I want to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying, I'm not going to major on my tears. I'm not going to major on my heartaches. I'm not going to major on how the rest of the brethren was treated by the rest of the people. I just want to introduce to you. I just want to tell you. I just want to magnify the Son of God to you. I don't want to paint a grim picture. I want to tell you, thank God, who He is. May I say to you today, as you and I could go back down the years of our lives, we could tell of a lot of tears. But I want to tell you something else. I can tell you of a lot of thrills too, buddy. Y'all getting a hold of this a little bit here. This might not be too shouting, too cape meeting this. But I told the Lord on Friday, I said, God, I don't care if none of them shout. I sure would like to point you out. I sure would like to be a bird dog that's standing on a covey of quail and refuses to move. Point out, thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have nothing to tell you today but Him. Thank God who is altogether lovely, gloriously precious, wonderful Jesus, glorious Jesus, mighty Jesus, eternal Jesus, saving Lord. Thank God if somehow in this meeting we could get our eyes off ourselves and our brothers and get our eyes on Him, we'd all get some help. I'll tell you this, and I'll come quickly, as quick as I can. He's the only one worth bragging on. I'll say this and move on real quickly, but I've never, I don't care how bad it's got, never have I ever got a new glorious picture of Him that I didn't get help. I was sitting over here a while ago at the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I ate breakfast about 7 this morning. I didn't eat anything. I thought I can't preach without a bite of something. I was sitting there eating a chicken leg, and I was thinking about something, and I'm telling you, I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not trying to embellish you. The Holy Ghost began to deal with me about something and help me with something. And I thought, Lord God in heaven, what a wonderful Lord. I'm leaving my text a minute, but I wish, Brother Joe, I could tell you what I'm trying to tell you down in my heart. You know what I'm trying to say. He's the best friend you ever had. There ain't nobody like Him. There ain't nobody even comes a world of nearness to Him. He'll stand with you when nobody else will. I'd like to get my text. The Lord let me. A preacher friend of mine told me several years ago, that I may have said it here before, that he said he preached a revival in this same church for 10, 12 years, and as an old man would sit on the front seat every year and shout and egg him on. And so one year he went back there and that old man wasn't there. Preached Monday night, he wasn't there. Tuesday night, he wasn't there. And Wednesday night, he wasn't there. So he asked the pastor after service on Wednesday night, he said, where's that old man? He always sat there and said, he said, well, he's real sick. He had a stroke. He don't know anything. And he said, well, can we go visit that old man tomorrow? And he said, yeah, we'll go. Brother Bailey said, we'll go. And so they went. He said, that old man was sitting in front of a window in a rocking chair, just looking out the window. So he just sitting there rocking. Said he couldn't recognize nothing nobody said. They'd talk to him, and he just kept rocking, looking out the window. That evangelist said, I asked him everything I know, trying to get a conversation out of him, couldn't get nothing out of him. He said, I went to the door, prayed with him, went to the door and started leaving. He said, wait just a minute, to the pastor. And said, he went back and said, lean down that old brother's ear. And said, he said, do you know the Lord Jesus? That old gentleman just stopped rocking. Said, he turned and looked up at me. Said, he said, there is a land far away, and by faith I see it afar. My Father waits over the way. He's prepared me a dwelling place there. Said he just went back to rocking again. I want to tell you there's one, thank God, that becomes such a part of your life in your darkest day when you've lost your mind. Thank God. He'll still make himself known to you. Hallelujah to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to get to the text if I can. Some years ago at a Bible school, called on a little old boy to pray over the meal outside in his little part of his class. And he said that, Lord, thank you for mommy, and thank you for daddy, and thank you for the food. And he said, Lord, take care of them. I sure do need them. And then he got about done and he said this, Brother Barry. He said, Lord, whatever you do, take care of you, because we sure need you too. Amen. I wish what's right here could come out here and tell you what I'm trying to say. How wonderful. Oh, Lord, how wonderful. I wish I could tell it. How wonderful. How wonderful is He. I could talk about a minute the truths that are abounding in John's Gospel. My soul, where's time going? John magnifies the Lord in every chapter. Chapter 1, He's the Word, the Life, the Lamb, and the Light. Chapter 2, He's the temple of His broken body. Chapter 3, He's Moses' serpent lifted up on a pole. Chapter 4, He's the water of life. Chapter 5, He's the final authority and the judge that executes all judgment. Chapter 6, He's the bread of life. Chapter 7, He's the river flowing from within. Chapter 8, He's the all-seeing, all-searching, forgiving eye of God. In chapter 9, He's the healer of the blinded eyes. Chapter 10, He's the good shepherd, the door, and the abundant life. He's the resurrection life in chapter 11. And on we could go. All John does is magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen at me very closely. When you make an introduction of somebody new, you reveal four pieces of information in almost every introduction. You reveal four things about the person you're introducing. If Brother Jeff comes to our church, I would reveal four pieces of information when I got up to introduce him. Number one, the first piece of information you reveal is you'd say, Brother Jeff comes to us from. He tells you where he comes from. He comes from North Carolina, comes South Carolina. He comes to us from. You was introducing me. You'd introduce me as coming from God's country, Virginia. Not only you come, he introduced coming from, but you'll always introduce this person as coming what they're coming as. He comes to us as a preacher, an evangelist, a pastor. Stay with me, y'all with me? He comes to us with 15 years experience, a good family, an education from so-and-so. And the last thing you would introduce is he comes to us for. What he comes for. Now when John introduces the book of John, he answers in the first three verses all four of those things. He tells us, he says, hey brother, I want to tell you where the Lord Jesus Christ comes from. I want to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us as. I want to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us with. And I want to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us for. Now, I said I was going to give you an introduction today. Maybe finish this up a little bit tomorrow evening. But John's favorite title, he doesn't tell us his name. John nowhere in this introduction tells us Jesus' name. He first gives us his official title. And he says, I want you to know his title. What's his title? Y'all with me out there? It's all quiet. He says his title is, in the beginning was the Word. Now, that's John's official and most loved title of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain. John commences his gospel with calling Jesus the Word. John continues his epistle in John 1:1 by calling Jesus the Word. And John concludes or closes his book by saying, "And I saw heaven opened, and upon a white horse, and armies of heaven behind him." He said he had a name that nobody knew. But the Holy Ghost couldn't keep it quiet either. Did you ever catch that? He said he's got a name that nobody knows but he himself. And then the next sentence said his name is called the Word of God. The Holy Ghost said, "I can't even keep it quiet." John's saying, "Hey, are you listening to me?" In the Gospels, John introduces him as the prophet, the Word, God's messenger, revealing the sovereign. In the epistles, John reveals him as God's Word, the priest, God's mediator, removing sin. In the book of the Revelation, John reveals Jesus as the King, God's mighty one, that's coming to rout Satan and restore the people of God. Brethren, may I ask you this evening, what better could we talk about? I'm amazed when you preach on homosexuality, and I do. You preach on standards and dress clothes, and I do preach them and practice them. The people get all happy and shout and hoot and holler. You try to preach to them about the one, thank God, that condemned sin and stepped down out of heaven's glory to save their soul from sin. Seem like they'll go to sleep on you. I want to tell you, I'm not half as interested in nothing or nobody as I am the great Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me at the cross. Let me junk about half of this. Let me just say the first thing here. That'd be maybe all will get said this evening. But the first thing John answers is where Jesus comes from. Brother Robert didn't introduce me today because most of you know me. And that's not saying nothing, it's just fact. He didn't tell you where, he told me where I'm from. He said you're from Chilhowie, Virginia. Well, John sets out to tell us where the Lord's from. He says He comes to us. Listen at me closely. He says He comes to us from the endless past. Look what it said in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. He says He comes to us from the endless past. Listen to this. John didn't start his writing about Jesus' translation into this world by talking about His human lineage, like Matthew and Mark did, or Matthew and Luke. Both Matthew and Luke starts their gospel by talking about the human lineage. They tell us where it comes from. Matthew says it comes from David and it comes from Abraham. Luke says it comes from Mary. They start his human lineage. I'd like to say just a word if I could take a minute there. My time's about going already. But do you ever think about Matthew writing about the human lineage of Jesus and Luke writing about the human lineage of Jesus? Do you know, get this real closely in your mind, do you know the Holy Ghost didn't just give them that words? I know you'd get quiet right there. When He says that Jesus was begat by so-and-so, 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 right on back, I want you to understand something. The Holy Ghost probably is not giving Him that. Now hear me a minute, you'll think I'm preaching false doctrine. Every boy that was born, they kept meticulous records down at the temple. And they'd write down that boy's birth and who his daddy is and who his grandmama is and who his granddaddy is. And the reason for that, they're trying to produce a genealogy, a human line that will trace him back to David to put him on the throne of David, or trace him back to the seed of Abraham as a rightful Jew to the throne of David. Don't let me lose you now. They kept that down at the temple. And one day, the Holy Ghost must have said to Matthew, "Go to the temple and pull him records and trace the human lineage of Jesus." And they traced that lineage of Jesus all the way back to Abraham, Matthew did. And then one day the Lord said to Luke, go to the temple and pull the human lineage, the pedigree of Jesus. And he traced him back to Adam. And for this reason, he who sits on the throne of David must be able to trace his human pedigree back to David. Now, the Lord, amen, I've got plumb out of my text. Now the Lord knew that and said the A.D., Titus, Vespasian's going to come down to Jerusalem and burn the temple. And all the records are going to be lost. Anybody know where I'm going? All the records are going to be lost. And so anybody from 70 A.D. on forward will never be able to produce their pedigree back to David or back to Abraham to sit on the throne of David. So may I say, there is but one person in the history of the world that can trace his human pedigree back to David. And it's written in your King James Bible. And so when the Son of God comes, they say, what right do you have to think you ought to sit on the throne of David? He said, right here it is. All other records was burned in 70 A.D. But we've got written, thank God, in the eternal Word of God. We've got the pedigree, the human lineage of the Lord Jesus that gives Him the right someday to sit on the throne of David. Hallelujah. I'd make an Episcopalian shout. Nobody else can do that. I don't know how the Antichrist is going to fool them with his pedigree. Are you following what I'm saying? There ain't no Jew nowhere. There ain't no family nowhere that can trace it back 2,000 years. No wonder the Lord said, Matthew, you go down there and you write her down. I want a copy of who's going to get on the throne someday. Luke, you go down there in the mouth of two witnesses. We've got a witness in the book of Matthew, and we've got a witness in the book of Luke that tells us of the human lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody with me? John don't start the human lineage. John don't deal with the human lineage of Christ as Matthew and Mark did. May I say, John don't start with the humble life of Jesus like Mark did. Mark didn't write about their lineage. He started with his life. Enough could be said right there. May I say, John don't go to his human lineage. And John don't go to his humble life. John goes directly to his holy lordship and proves him not as just a man, but proves him, thank God, as the Son of God. Praise God. I'm liking it. I wish you were. John takes us back past the Romans and the Greeks and the Medes and the Babylonians. He takes us back past the prophets and the poets and the patriarchs. He takes us back past the fires of Lot and the floods of Noah and the fall of Adam. He takes us back past the wisdom of Solomon and the works of David and the worship of Abraham and the warfare of Satan in heaven. He goes back and says, when time began, He, thank God, was there to start it. He's the eternal one. He's saying, may I introduce you to the one that comes to us from the endless past. Hallelujah. Can I stop just a second and think about that? I can't wrap my mind around that. If you study the text, now I can't get bogged down here because I'd like to finish this up real quickly this evening. When you get to that word was, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made. There's two different words in that terminology of was. The word in verse 1, was, is different than the word was in verse 2. In verse Am I losing y'all? Am I boring anybody? The word was in verse 1 is the word itto, I-T-O. And it means already in existence. In the beginning, itto, already in existence, was the word. And the word was itto, already in existence. And the word was God, it was already in existence with God. But he gets to the next verse, it's genito. And he says, it became. In him, he said, but all things were made by him. Without him was not anything come into existence that came into existence. Can I give you this? My time's running out. Listen at me a minute. You got this statement in the Bible. When you look at that word was there, it's in the imperfect tense. And that the word imperfect tense means this. It's never reached a complete state. It's always an ongoing. It never reaches a full, complete state. And Jesus is called not only He who was, but He's called He who is, He who was, and He who is to come. And if you look that up, it's always in the imperfect tense. Which means you start back and it's an imperfect tense. It just was. And He was. And He was. And He was. You never reach a place. This as far back as you go, He keeps saying He was. He was. He was. And He was. But wait a minute. The word is, He who was, but He who is also in the imperfect tense. Which means He always is. And He 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 is. But wait a minute. That word come is in the imperfect tense. Which means He's always coming. And He's always coming. So, get a hold of this now. Get a hold of this. There's 2,000 years that separates Adam and Abraham. 2,000 years that separates Abraham and the writer of the Gospel of John. And 2,000 years that separates the writer of John and me. And so, what it's saying, He's always in the eternal now. When Adam was, He was always there with Abraham, because He always is, and He was always coming. Are y'all following me? And when John wrote, he wasn't waiting 4,000 years for John to get on the scene. He always was. So at the moment, he was with Adam in the garden, he was with Abraham on Moriah, and he was with John on Patmos. And may I say another word? He was with Buster Merlin preaching right here today. Yesterday, see, we put time in three ways, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But with God, it's eternal now. There was no 2,000-year separation between Adam and Abraham. That's time with you and I. And Abraham with John, John with me. Every bit of it's the eternal now. Y'all listen, am I boring you? All of it's the eternal now with God. Which means this, there is no tomorrow. That means whatever happens tomorrow, He's done been in tomorrow. He's done went down all of my past. He's right now in my present. And when tomorrow gets here, it ain't going to be tomorrow, it's going to be today. May I say this? If you can get a picture of that, you'll quit biting your thumbnails to the elbow. He's done walked down all of your tomorrows. Amen. Hallelujah. John says, He comes to us out of the endless past. As far back as you can go, it keeps saying was. And as far as you can go, it keeps saying come. He's always back there, and He's always up there. But up there and back there is always right here.
Amen. Anybody get a hold of that? While you sit there all bent out of shape about what might be, they ain't no might be's. It's all known. Acts 15:18, known unto the Lord all His works from the beginning of the world. His thing's already planned and figured out. God's done seen the final move. Supper's at 5, right? 5:30. Let me just say this. I don't know where I'll go back to that tomorrow night. Let me just say this. Not only John says He comes to us from the endless past, but the second statement He seems to make in this passage, in the beginning was the Word. That's where He comes from. But John seems to say the Word comes to us as an equal person. The Word was God. As an equal person. Let me give you this and I'll close this segment. Not only is the answer to the question where He come from, the endless past, in the beginning was the Word. As an equal person, the Word was God. But if you look at that text, He seems to be saying this. The Word comes to us with exceeding power. All things were made by Him. Now listen to me and I'm done. If you can get a glimpse of the One that comes to you from the endless past as an equal person with endless power, this is whom I serve. This is John's Word. But this is Buster Mullins' Word. This is My Word as well. I'm talking about Jesus. The same Jesus that met Adam in Eden and met Abraham on Moriah and met John by the banks of the on the Sea of Galilee is the same Jesus that walks with me today. He who always was and always is coming, but He's always here. May I say, I think I can trust that. I think I can hang myself out over hell with that. May I introduce to you the Lord Jesus Christ.